Hey everybody, welcome to the Big Monday Show. My name is Charles Simon. I'm the host of the Going in Circles podcast. My co-host, the sniper, Mr. Barry Spears, will be with us after the first break. This is the pre-Breeders' Cup show. We are going to touch on it a little bit, but next week is really the focus. The pre-entries will be revealed on Wednesday. We'll find out whether Barry's secret love, CZ Rocket, is preferring the sprint or the mile. To me, it's a little bizarre that he would consider the mile, but we have another couple of topics to talk about, and we hope you enjoy. See you in a minute. Pleasant Acre Farms, located just outside Ocala, Florida, is a full-service commercial breeding operation that has one of the top stallion rosters in the Sunshine State. Standing 10 horses, including sons of top sires such as Curlin, Harlan's Holiday, Unbridled Song, Scat Daddy, Canthros, and Twirling Candy, you'll be sure to find a great match for your mare at Pleasant Acres. Owned and operated by consummate professionals, Joe and Helen Barbizon, they provide clients with world-class services in all facets of the thoroughbred industry. Their commitment to quality is what allows Pleasant Acre Farms to pursue their passion for breeding champions. Check out their website at pleasantacresstallions.com or call 352-528-2885. Pleasant Acre Farms. Hey, if you're listening to the Going in Circles Big Monday Show, which obviously you are, you should also sign up for the Going in Circles Digest. It's kind of a weekly, I won't say it's a weekly, but it's kind of a weekly newsletter that we put out, and we cover all kinds of topics. We write stories, we talk about industry issues, we do some stakes previews, all kinds of different things. If we find a interesting old video on YouTube, we'll post that. We've done restaurant reviews, all kinds of different stuff. And best of all, it's free. All you have to do is go to goingincirclesdigest.substack.com and put your email address in there, and we will send you the link as soon as it's posted. So go ahead, check it out, goingincirclesdigest.substack.com. Again, thank you for listening. Is this Mr. Breeders' Cup?
Yes. Yes, it is. I should say it's Mr. CZ Rocket, but we're not going to go there.
We're not going to go there. It's too early in the show to start with CZ Rocket talk.
Is it really, though? Never a bad time to talk long shot. CZ Rocket getting the W on Breeders' Cup Day.
I just don't have any comment.
It's okay, I'm gonna get shamed on Twitter for like until 2022 when he loses.
Well, the pre-entries were due today. They'll be announced on Wednesday as they sort them out tomorrow. So we will see. Presumably, he was pre-entered in both the sprint
both races.
And the mile. So, you know, it's interesting that. I always think it's funny when has there ever been a horse that was seriously considered for two spots that ever ran well?
No, I mean, unless
at this point, if you haven't figured out which race you want to be in, like. I mean, we kind of know the fields, right? I mean, it's not like there's... I mean, maybe there'll be a surprise or two, but like...
The Liam's... Wasn't he considered for both the Classic and the Mile? Or was he just...
I guess that in a situation where races might overfill, maybe you'd want to be in another race just in case for some reason you were excluded, right? I mean...
It makes sense if you want to participate and get some of that money.
Yeah, yeah. Honestly, I don't get why everybody's running from the sprints this year. I get why people aren't real big fans of Jackie's Warrior. Not big fans, but big fans of running against him. But he is a three-year-old. This is his first start in the West Coast. And I don't really have many other bad things to say about him. But, I mean, he is a three-year-old. And like, what happens if you know, he pops an abscess the day before the race or something like that, and all of a sudden it's a wide-open $2 million race?
Not really. I mean, we already talked about the winner already. So whether Jackie Ford is in or out.
DC Rocket might even be in the race. I think they're going to chicken out and run on the mile, which seemed to be maybe a worse
better spot maybe.
Really a
better spot, you know. And,
for, you yeah, know, for like, life is good is going to be, you know, fun to run against. I mean, he figures to take the Knicks go approach like last right. year and just run to the lead, and that'll be it.
Hard and fast, as they say in the business.
Yeah.
Didn't say what business, but we'll just keep it there.
No, it seems like there's quite a few, especially in the Philly sprint. I mean, if you're ever going to beat Gamine, this is the time.
Man, and everybody's ducking her.
I know, I don't get it. I really
I don't get it either.
I really hope that Rudy Rosario are just aggressive, because this is the time to beat that Philly. You know, my argument to Rudy is, hey, if you win the Breeders' Cup Philly race, Philly sprinter, you won the test, you won the Gallant Bloom, and you put the Breeders' Cup on top of that. Nothing that Gamine did this year was so spectacular that you can't overcome it. I mean, she started off the year where it lost to Al or some three horse field at Santa Anita, and you know, the Ballerina was her big win of the year, right? But
was it the Derby City Mile or something?
Yeah, yeah. Actually, I think she's a 2-time Grade One winner. But to me, the test, even though it's a restricted Grade One, is certainly the biggest 3-year-old Philly sprint. And I don't get, like, I was looking up this way. This sport is so stupid in some ways. Like, hasn't anyone ever thought, hey, our graded stakes system is a complete disaster and it's a mess, and maybe we should fix it because the races don't make sense, the schedule doesn't make sense, and they're letting the racetracks dictate, and the racetracks should not be allowed to dictate because the racetracks are only concerned with their own schedule. And the graded stakes, it's not supposed to be just a marketing ploy. Oh, it's a Grade One race, so, you know, it's better than the other ones. It's supposed to be the graded process was adopted from the European pattern races. Pattern races means there was a pattern. I mean, the pattern we have is like
scribbled. No pattern.
5-year-old. When you look at the Philly sprint division, okay, and this might be the worst of all the most egregious of all the schedules, but there are 5 Grade Ones Philly sprints outside of the Breeders' Cup Philly sprint. One of them is at Keeneland in the first week of April. One of them is at Churchill the first week of May. One of them is the first week of August, and that's a restricted race. That's the test.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is the last week of August, the Breeders' Cup. And then, for some reason, the La Brea at Santa Anita is a Grade One race. And this makes no sense. It makes no sense. The La Brea is not a Grade
One race. The last one.
It should not be a Grade One race. It is. If you have the whole year, you have 12 months, and you only have 6 graded stakes, Grade One stakes, the La Brea should not be one of them. It just shouldn't be one of them. I mean, there's not a single Grade One Philly sprint for Phillies in the West Coast. except for the La Brea. If you're going to have one grade one race for Philly sprinters in the West Coast, it should be for three and up or for older. It shouldn't be a race 5 days from the end of the year. The Malibu is one.
Have you seen the winners, the recent winners? Was that right?
It's not a strong group.
Spice Perfection's in there. Unique Bella, Constellation, Bird at the Wire, Sam's Sister. I guess the legit.
What about Sam's other sister?
The real legit one was, I guess, Indian Blessing back in 2008.
You know, you just have the win and your in races are two of them are grade twos. And they're all, you know, the Princess Rooney, which
used to be a monster.
Inexplicably is now a win and you're in. If there's only three win and you're ins, how is the Princess Rooney one of them?
I don't know. There hasn't been a good horse to come out of that race in a long time.
I mean, you know my feeling about the win and you're in program. I think it's a misappropriated sham of a program. No offense. Because all the races that people, and I understand that owners are the backbone of the Breeders' Cup from the side of nominations and you know, they want people to nominate their foals. That's one of the biggest funding mechanisms they have. But and I'm not saying that there shouldn't be a reward for winning important races, or there shouldn't be some sort of the Breeders' Cup. But the way they have it now, it's just they just designate these races, and there's no rhyme or rhythm to anything, and it just is. It just could be done.
A Gold Mover.
I'm in the process of actually. You know, I do this for free, so it'll have to come when it comes. But
I could be your anger translator.
Well, it's just that, you know, you put the races down, right? You plot them on a piece of paper from January 1st, January 3rd.
Effectively take you, I mean, an hour or two, maybe, at best?
Well, it took me about 40 minutes to write them all down because there's no real handy guides out there that you can just, maybe there is, but I can't find it.
Right. No, I know.
You have to go through the entire schedule and just, you know, pick them out. And it's just, if you have a Philly sprinter, a good Philly sprinter, right, and you're turning four, well, the first grade one, like I said, is at Keeneland in the Madison. Why is the Madison a grade one? I don't know. I have no idea. The Derby City Distaff is on Derby Day or the day before, or Oaks Day. It might be an Oaks Day.
Did they change the name from something else, or is that just
a they had a sponsor. That's one of these things where people talk about sponsors, and sponsors come and go in this game. They come and they go. Remember when Budweiser was a big sponsor?
Remember the cigarettes?
Marlboro Cup. That's right. But if you have the two Kentucky races, which are a month apart, then you don't have another grade one until almost September. Like, how does this make sense? How does this make sense?
There's some good horses that came out of that race, though.
There are, but it's not a knock on the race. It's just five grade one races other than the Breeders' Cup, and only one of them is a win and you're in. I mean, it's just not setting up. This is just like Belle's the one. She's won a grade one, right? She's won, you know, I don't know. She's won quite a few graded stake races. Like, they're skipping this race. And I don't want to say that the purse should be bigger, because the race, the $500,000 more, that would have made a difference. Maybe it would have, maybe it wouldn't have. But if there was some other incentive, you know, to be, to run in this race, if $1 million isn't enough anymore. And, you know, Gammine's, I mean, of course she's been undefeated this year, but she hasn't been particularly dominant. Put it this way, a couple of the races, her last two races, well, her last two non-California races, so I think she ran in LaSalle again, but the race on Derby Day and the race at Saratoga, I mean, she worked to win. It wasn't like last year where she was winning by 10 lengths. And this should all make sense. I mean, we're a 12-month-a-year sport, right? So there's time to spread things out, and it just like one of the biggest success stories of, well, maybe the biggest success story in horse racing is the Triple Crown, right? It's the most popular event. It's the big, the well, you know, attended days, and gets the most media coverage by far. And yet we don't really copy it. I mean, we do in some ways, but we don't. It's kind of, you know, that there's a pattern of races that lead up to the Derby that makes sense, at least somewhat makes sense. You know, they stretch out about the same time. There's options, you know, in the East Coast, the West Coast, and the Midwest. And I mean, the Derby point system isn't ideal. I mean, we've pointed out the weaknesses of the Derby point system. And honestly, they could fix that by just bumping up some of the earlier races. And right. Not making such a Powerball ticket to win one of the last ones. But at least there's a road to the Derby, right? I mean, there's a way of getting there that makes sense that people could follow along with. Sprinters, the turf milers, you know, either dirt milers. That division almost doesn't even exist. It's hard to find graded stakes going a mile on the dirt. So it's just something that could make this business better. It could make the game better. And one of the things in the 80s, in the mid-80s, that was tried, there's two major racing changes made in the mid-80s. And one was the Breeders' Cup, which obviously has worked and has expanded and it's gotten bigger. And yes, there are downfalls to the Breeders' Cup. It's because of the Breeders' Cup. At least good horses do. It's championship meet at Belmont. It's you know, there are certain 100% perfect, but it's a huge success and it's a huge weekend of racing, and it's not quite like a championship would be in track and field, but it's you know, where you're actually the champion if you win the race, because you know, if Tripoli wins the Classic, I'm thinking he's probably not going to get Horse of the Year. But in some of the divisions, you could certainly make a case that the Breeders' Cup race is going to crown the champion. The two-year-old juvenile fillies and colts, that race will probably determine who the champion is. The sprint this year probably will, if it's Jackie's Warrior, he'd probably be sprint champion even if if one of the Japanese horse wins or some crazy horse wins, then he'll beat it. But most years, the sprint is the determining factor. There is no champion miler, so that's a championship race where a division doesn't exist, both the turf and the dirt. But and there should be a way of leading up to it. And in a few years before the Breeders' Cup was launched, they had something called the ARCS, the American Championship Racing Series, which tried to tie in the older horses to, and this was before the Breeders' Cup, but it was to try to, create kind of a playoff atmosphere of sorts where you would earn points and there'd be big bonuses at the end, and the horse and everybody would, depending on how many points he had earned, how many races he won, you would get a big bonus at the end of the year. And it didn't last, and it was a great idea. And one of the problems was that, I'll be honest. Well, I think one of the reasons that the Breeders' Cup was successful was not only because it's a great idea. I mean, it was a great idea, but because the tracks didn't really have any control over it.
Right. I was thinking that same thing. I was like, well, it took somebody independent of the tracks to kind of invent that, even though it's so weird that I thought of before 1984. Or actually, yeah. It probably was thought of. It just wasn't
sure, able to. They didn't get the, everything going, but.
Right.
But that's a big factor, and the tracks couldn't screw it up.
It's a huge factor. The main factor.
And listen, we're not naive to think that Churchill Downs is going to want to put on a production to, benefit
everybody.
Ira, yeah. I mean, I understand that, but by the same token, we all are in this business together in a way, and that Churchill Downs or Naira or Stronach or whoever can't operate independently of everyone else. They can't. And to have successful days, the big event days here to stay, and it's something that we should try to really and make it bigger than it is now. And I think the Breeders' Cup has to take the lead on this, because there's no other organization out there that has the finances or has the motivation. And so far, the Breeders' Cup hasn't shown any inclination to have motivation to do this, at least maybe externally or internally. Maybe I've never heard a word about it, but to create a way of basically having a mini Breeders' Cup every month, and it wouldn't be perfect, it wouldn't be ideal, it wouldn't there'd be races that held on traditional days and no one's going to want to change and blah blah blah. But you know what, we held the Met Mile on Memorial Day forever, and guess what, they moved it, and guess what happened, it's they still run it, and
right, it's still popular, still make
the fields, and they still bet, or they probably bet more now on it than ever. And I mean, outside of the Triple Crown races, I mean, why should anything be sacred anymore?
Well, I mean, it's time to evolve.
I'm not saying, yeah, let's run the Travers in November or June, right? Nothing silly like that. But there's no reason you can't move these races a week up, a week back, because if it benefits racing in general, it'll benefit the other tracks too. Well, like, it's a big, huge day of racing. People at other tracks that are betting, people in other areas are going to be focused on it. We've seen how that happens.
Right. Definitely. I mean, it's just time to evolve, I think. I think racing is getting to that point where it's kind of evolve or die. And they have to break some of the traditional norms in order to do that. And excuse me, it seems like the quote unquote old regime is not so willing to do that. Why? I don't know. Because if they look at it from a dollars and cents point of view, it's a no-brainer. It's just, yeah, we should do this. You know what I mean? But they're clinging on to a lot of, but you know, things change, and in order for the sport to prosper, you got to change some things, you know. And it's like, it feels like the sport is just so rigid and they don't want to change anything, or they're just so complacent and like, oh, it'll be fine the way it is. And that's not the case. I mean, you know, again, it's like we always say, it's death by a million cuts. But I just have a hard time wrapping my head around the tracks not understanding this. I mean, I would think they have, you know, at least decent business people running the show that can put two and two together. So it's like, it's hard to kind of figure out why it's like a fight to get anything changed. And then when they do change it, they act as if they reinvented the wheel and they want all the applause and all the praise. And I mean, I'm not so quick to do that because it's something they should be doing. You know, it's almost like, you know, like being a parent is like, you don't get applause for doing something you're supposed to do if you have a child, you know? It's just mind-boggling that they haven't figured this out, or maybe they have and just don't care. I don't know. I wish I talked to more executive type people.
You don't wish that. You don't.
But it's just, I just find it hard to believe that they don't know these things.
I mean, I think that people out there don't realize how little the people that run the sport really know.
Right. I guess we're giving them the benefit of the doubt. Like, oh, well.
What we see and what the horsemen see and what the bettors see, they don't see it. And it's like Keeneland with this refusal to use the colored saddle towels in stake races because of their sponsor's color, which is just a ludicrous argument. It's just ludicrous. The sponsors are, no one's going to not sponsor a race because Keeneland used color-coded saddle towels like they do in every other race. And the irony is that the little chiclet things on the bottom are color-coded, though the race that they're...
Right, they're not.
They're showing aren't.
Right.
But it's just, like, you look stupid by doing this. And is it a big deal? No, it's not the biggest deal in the world. But these are your best horses. And when you have situations when, you know, like it rained the other day and you can't tell who's who. And every meet that you have, there's always the same old, why did they do this? 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 And the people who are executives there, they're not on Twitter looking at that. They're up in the, they're schmoozing with the sponsors saying, hey, look.
I can understand that, but why don't they
employ somebody to even have colors?
Why don't they employ somebody to do that, to peruse Twitter, peruse social media, and to say, hey, what's the pulse on the street? What's going on the street? What's hot?
I don't think they care.
Right. That's my thinking is that, you know, I mean, all signs are pointing to them not caring.
And you have to remember one thing, too, is that they get input from a lot of people. They do get input from a lot of people.
Who, though? But who they listen to?
They're getting input from the people that they know who are probably most like them.
Right. Yes, men or women.
You know, even if it's their friends or the people they run with. Put it this way. If you spent all your time in the executive suites and the clubhouse and the dining room, you're probably not going to be aware that the bathrooms in the grandstand are dirty. Unless someone tells you, right? Now, that's not to say that everybody that runs a track isn't, you know, on the ball, because a lot of them are, at least operationally. And I understand a lot of the issues, and we all should understand a lot of the issues are that tracks have, how do you say it gently? they've de-emphasized the racing side in a lot of ways. Not Keeneland in particular, but you know, some of the other tracks they have, and they just don't put much of a priority in the racing business or the racing experience for the people that do show up at the race. But I think sometimes that their views are very they're just not getting a full sample size of opinions from various sides. I mean, I can tell you that there's horsemen's organizations that do not what the general population might be interested in, but they're doing what the people who are on the board, who may also not have a great understanding of the vast majority of the population back there. So, I mean, these are issues that they're bigger and bigger as the game gets smaller and smaller. And I think that's one of the real problems that we face in this business, is that it's shrinking. It's not getting bigger. It's shrinking. And trying to grow a business that's not growing, it's just kind of hard to
effort in. I mean, that's where I think, you know, I don't see much effort coming from the powers that be in order to do that. You know, I'm sure they talk a lot about it, but what are they actually doing?
No. And, you know, the slot tracks kind of make everybody else, at least the Churchills, the Keenelands, the Belmonts, the Saratogas, purse-wise, Oaklawns, they make it difficult in everyone else to keep up because they have, you know, a really strong alternate source of revenue that gives them an advantage. But you also don't see those places looking to lower takeout. And they'll say, oh, well, we lower takeout on this, or we offered this bet. Well, you can still do better. And remember, a lot of this takeout levels are static because they're giving huge rebates to their quote-unquote biggest customers, but they're also not even making the same amount off a dollar they bet versus a dollar that you or I bet. So there's so much confusion. And I think that, like, where we could start, because the betting side, the wagering side, where the handle's coming from, that's going to be a fight till the death, essentially. And even places like Naira, which seem like they mitigated the late odds changes by shutting the computer guys off in the wind pools at 2 minutes. I haven't seen anyone else follow up with that. So, but I think the scheduling of graded stake races, the, you know, coordination of having a real road to the Breeders' Cup. And it doesn't necessarily have to start in January. That's a long, long ways. That's 10 months out, and maybe that's too long. But there's no reason that the summertime we don't have. You see, so many times you see these turf races, right? And there's one this week. There's one here at Monmouth. There's one at Belmont. Next week there's one at Laurel. There just was one at Churchill before they closed. And then California's got one. So you get the horses divided all up.
And right. You see them pick and choose sometimes, too. They're like, well, I don't want to face this horse for this amount of money when I can just go to another race somewhere else for just as much money in an easier field.
Sure. And by the Breeders' Cup designated certain races.
Can't duck.
Having some sort of bonus program, having some sort of point system, having something that gives that race a little bit more importance, then we should get a better field for that race. And that's part of the problem. And that's one of the reasons I started thinking about this, is because, like, even though it wasn't a huge field, right? The Alan Jerkins was a great race. I mean,
unbelievable.
It was a great race.
Yeah.
Between two really, really top horses. And
we don't get enough of that.
The only reason, and the only reason we probably got that, if you really look at it, was because Life is Good got hurt, had time off and get transferred, and you know there was a lot of things that had happened.
Had they fallen into place?
But that's still like what we should be shooting for, that type of race. You know, they don't have to be 15 horse fields. I see the race at Keeneland, the turf race, the Valley View on Friday, has got a 16 horse field. So I think they're going to run 14 with two AEs. In the old days, they would have split it to two AEs.
Yeah, right.
They don't do that anymore. You know, that's the whole point about this, is that we lived in a world where Rachel Alexandra and Zenyatta raced at the same time and never raced against each other.
Comfortably, too. It wasn't like, you know, they both made a lot of money running against each other.
And I don't want to hear the excuses. I don't care what the excuses are. My point is this, is that if we want to have better races, and that should be our goal, is to have better races. Make grade one races grade one races, and grade two races grade two races, and grade three races grade three races. Make the grade one races mean more, a lot more. I'm sick of hearing, oh, he got his grade one.
Oh, man. You know, it reminds me. I was thinking about this yesterday. I don't know, a couple years ago when, remember the horse Shawish?
Yes.
Won a grade one on the dirt at Gulfstream, and I swear to God, that field was the worst field of all time. And I said it on Twitter, and a Bloodstock agent really got upset at me.
Because Bloodstock agents are
he was like, really mad. But I mean, it was
no offense. Whole listen, like, if the good ones make a lot of money and do very well, and it's not the easiest job in the world, you have to deal with angry people all the time. And I mean, it's a treacherous kind of thing. But these people live in fantasy land, just like the salespeople live in fantasy land. People, they cheer when people spend millions of dollars on horses. And there should be a guy that comes up and taps him on the shoulder and says, they're clapping, but I think you're stupid. You got about a 2% chance that horse ever being worth, you know, that. But that's the world that they live in. And that's the thing.
Pony is grade one of all time. And I was like, oh, my God, and this horse is – and they're going to pump this horse up. Like, oh, he's a grade one winner on dirt and turf.
And that's what happens. We
right.
get these races. And the reason is because there's nothing to differentiate between them. And there's no incentive to run in them other than, oh, they're grade one races. Oh, yeah, that's nice. But we should have a lot fewer stake races. Way, way, way fewer. Keeneland's adding them. The two-year-old race they added got like a 14-horse field. But the fact of the matter is we keep having fewer and fewer horses, but the number of stakes stays the same. Which means there's more credentialed horses per capita than there should be. And it also means, in a lot of ways, that there's graded horses who 20 years ago wouldn't be graded horses. They wouldn't be graded horses.
Yeah, it was crazy. I remember he was so mad. Because I think I called, I said the horse was just a cut below like top level. Yeah, like, what do you mean? Like, you can't count this phony grade three or whatever it was at the time. And I was like, he was really mad.
Well, he probably just tried to sell it to somebody. You know, listen,
maybe
you make your money, you make your money, but don't pretend like you guys are all like got the good of the game in your head.
Grade 3, it was the ghost zapper.
Well, you look at like today, there was the announcement, which is about the worst kept secret in the world, Essential Quality, and Mineshaft, Maxfield.
It was retired
after this year, which, I mean, listen, Maxfield, this is his third season of racing, has 10 starts. So, you know, he got his grade one way back as a 2-year-old, but I understand why they're skipping the Breeders' Cup Classic, and everyone got all butthurt about it, but I mean, I understand it. I mean, they get one more race in them. I'm sure that's the thinking. We have one more race in them, and we want to win. And the horse has never missed the board, and the Clark's a grade one, and I think they'd like to win an older horse grade one race with the horse. And remember one thing, Sheikh Mohammed, he runs a breeding operation primarily.
Right.
But and he's always done.
That's that move to you know.
And it's not necessarily just about the money. It's about this is what he does. This is what he does overseas. This is what he's always done. So, and honestly, if Essential Quality were to win the Breeders' Cup, it gets to the point of, okay, well, why bring him back? You know, why bring him back to run in?
Right. There's really no incentive.
The early spring races.
Done everything that they want to do.
Right. That's what I mean. It's like, okay. I would love to see him race as a 4-year-old. I'd love to see what he could do. I would love to see him. I'd love to see him in a race like the Met Mile. I'd love to see him in all kinds of different races.
Right.
But
at least a 4-year-old campaign.
Yeah. I get it, but it's, you know, he's a homebred, right? Is he homebred?
Yes.
And,
I believe so.
That's what they're going to do. And that's what they do. So, just is what it is. I'm not happy about it, but I mean, think about this. Money can't always be the incentive because, assuming he would win this race or, you know, race great in it, Nick's Go is definitely retired after this year. So, he's going to, I think, TaylorMade. And certainly, Essential Quality would be the favorite going over to Dubai. In a, what, a $16 million race? Or if you went to the Saudi race, a $20 million race? So it's just what they're going to do. I mean, that's just the, you know, that's the way it is.
Huh. Yeah, for the record, Shawish beat Valid in Mexicoma in the Don Handicap. 2016, and it was like one of the worst dirt grade ones I've ever seen.
Oh, listen, there's plenty of bad grade one races.
Yeah,
there's plenty of them.
And then they ran them in Dubai after that, in the World Cup on dirt.
Listen, we could use about 30% less stake races in each division. Grade ones, grade twos, grade
three. Well, yeah, like you said, you know, have them mean something. I mean, now it's just like, oh, well, you know.
If you have a good horse, you should be able to. I mean, if you have a, I mean, still, you got to have a talented horse. You can't have a 10 claimer, but I mean, we've seen more 50 claimers jump right into stakes company and be competitive over the last decade than we probably saw in the last 50 years.
Yeah. I can definitely believe that.
You claimed one for 50 and you ran him as Ali Sheba and then Wak Woi.
Thumped.
He'll be 20 lengths.
Easy. Now?
That's why Shifty Sheik was such a like a jolt to the system. That's the funny thing. If Oscar was around today, he wouldn't even barely stick out. I mean, some of the things would stick out when he ran him back every 3-4 days. Or if he teriyaki staked one and ran it 6 times in a month. He won 6 races in a month with a horse.
I know. That's amazing.
Maxfield's run 7 races in 3 years. And he's considered one of the best horses. Teriyaki Stake won 6 in March.
That's sick. That's crazy.
But that's part of the difference between having a foal crop of 38,000 and a foal crop of 18,000. There's half as many horses out there. And it's not just, you know, we can't just breed good horses, unfortunately. It just doesn't work that way. Anyways, I think it's funny that people are all, there's like too much time between the now and the Breeders' Cup. And it's like the Derby, you know, when everybody starts to overanalyze. But I want to make a statement to that guy from Canada who used to break my chops on Twitter.
Which one? There's so many. No,
the one guy.
Benny?
No. The guy that got butt hurt because I said that Super Sandwich and what was the other horse? The horse actually won on at Tampa that you know, they made the terrible decision to
Helium, right?
Helium, yeah. How have they done so far, Mr. Canada? What did I say? I told you. Done. That's the thing that changed. That's the thing about the Kentucky Derby that's different than everything else. Like, you can look at patterns and this and that for the Breeders' Cup Classic or this race or that race. They're just races. The Breeders' Cup Classic, it's just a race. It's a big race. It's a great race, but it's a race. It's not that much different than anything else that these horses have been asked to do all year. The Kentucky Derby is totally different. Totally different. And, I mean, the horses were 2 5 months before. And now they're going 1.25 miles in front of 150,000 people. It's just, you just have to have the bottom in the horse. They just have to have it. And it was silly to try. And Soup and Sandwich looks like they left him in the toaster too long. He looks burnt. Yeah, he sat inside.
Looks like a flatbread.
Yeah, that bread is flat stale. There's a fly.
Put it in a flatbread, not a soup and sandwich.
Oh man, yeah, he looks toast. And the other one, Helium, they even tried to go back to turf on him.
Man, that dude's
not go back to turf. They tried turf on him.
He's anti-Helium.
Yeah, they let the air out of that balloon.
It's flammable, it's hydrogen, straight up.
Yeah, so genius out there that wanted to get all over me. What do you got to say now, buddy? And honestly, it's not like that was some like
That wasn't
hard. Bold statement.
It wasn't hard to predict.
A horse with 3 lifetime starts going to the Kentucky Derby that then getting post 19. I mean, that was just like the icing on the cake.
Right. There is no shot.
No shot.
I mean, he ran good in the Florida Derby because nobody else ran.
He did. He ran good in the Florida Derby. It was an 8-horse field.
Right, but nobody else ran. Like, the only horse that ran was the one that beat him. Right. Everybody else didn't show up.
No, the Florida path to the Kentucky Derby this year was not a strong one.
No.
As it turns out, I wonder where that horse of Shugs is.
I don't know.
I saw he was back in training. He might be an interesting horse next year.
Yeah. He looked good that day, too, but he just didn't run.
No, he ran against the grain, and that's why I thought that he might be okay, because he was a horse that raced against the traditional style at Gulfstream Park, that especially in the races where he was just leaving him, you know, a lot to do.
He had quirks, though. He had to be outside. He didn't want to be inside. He had some quirks in that regard. Like, when he got caught inside, I think it was the race before the Florida Derby, and he finally got out, and then he started flying.
Yeah, right. He looked beat. And was it the Fountain of Youth?
Yeah.
I mean, he looked totally greatest honor.
Right. He looked horrible for like 90% of that race.
Yeah, he really didn't. But that style doesn't generally do well going 2 turns at Gulfstream Park.
No, not in recent years or ever, really.
Well, thank you for pointing out that the orange cone that serves as the finish line is now back.
I had to. Gulfstream, buddy. How I know where the finish line is.
An orange cone.
Yeah, man. All that planning and all that money and all that everything, and they couldn't get a metal pole. At the very least.
A plastic pole.
Or something. A PVC pipe.
Have a guy stand there.
Right? You know, like the first down marker at a football field.
Yeah, right.
Just have somebody go ahead and stand there just for the synth races. I mean, 2 minutes. That's it. You're good. They can pay me. I'll do it.
The sniper line.
That's right. I can wear a shirt. It's a sniper line. But I guarantee you, I will not look like a Five Guys manager.
Nor should you, nor should anyone. You should be embarrassed for wearing those clothes. What the hell's the matter with people? What is it about horse racing? People get up, get dressed up ridiculously. I mean, it's not like LaMelo Ball dressed, but I mean, come on, man.
Yeah, I don't get it. I hate dressing up. I mean, I don't even wear shoes 90% of the time. So,
shoeless Barry Jackson,
shoeless Sniper Spears. But you know, I just feel a lot more relaxed at the track when I'm just chilling. You know,
I hear you. I hear you. I'm not one to enjoy getting suited up.
Well, especially
in Florida when it's hot.
The Clement-esque pink pants.
I have a pair of pink pants.
I know. You wore to the, didn't you wear them to the Pegasus like two years ago?
2 years ago, yeah. I wore the pink pants. And I don't think I can get in them right now, so.
Yeah, well, that and, you know, the mayor sews your shirts on the street.
The mayor is unbelievable. Seriously, you cannot go in Saratoga without him finding.
That guy knows everybody.
I mean, the best is he'll go over and he'll talk to him and he'll slap on the back and laugh and then come over. I hate that guy.
The best.
Oh man, my dad. Shout out to my dad. He hit the pick five at Finger Lakes today.
Oh, pops!
$180 on a $4 ticket.
I'm down with that. Yeah. That ROI is lovely.
Yeah, he was explaining it to me, and I was trying not to listen, but I was happy for him.
Should have had him press repeat.
He said he would hit the pick six, too, but he screwed something up or something happened. I don't know. Like,
only thing good about Finger Lakes is Tony Kahlo.
The baritone voice of Tony Kahlo.
I remember when he was out west. Isn't it Bay Meadows or Golden Gate?
Yeah, I can't remember. I think it was Bay Meadows.
Oof, Bay Meadows.
Poor Bay Meadows.
What a great place.
I never made it there.
Me neither. Seen pictures, though.
Yeah, it was an old track. I think it was a movie. Some movie was filmed there. Or scenes from a movie were filmed at Bay Meadows.
Yeah, wasn't it Metro with Eddie Murphy?
It might have been, yeah. Maybe. Kind of sad news about Bob Neumeier.
Oh, man, Newmy's a New Englander. It's in my neck of the woods. I remember seeing him on the news, doing sports on the news back in the day. And I didn't even know he was a horse racing guy until he showed up at the Breeders' Cup, the first one, I think.
Yeah, he was a fixture at the Breeders' Cup. For as long as I can remember.
I saw somebody put in this Rockingham Park group on Facebook like a video of him with Bill Nader, Jerry Cheevers, hockey guy. You know, talking about races at Rockingham Park.
Yeah,
that was pretty cool. But you know, sad. He was a horse player, man, for real. Like, didn't he win like a tournament or two?
I think he hit a big pick six one time at the Breeders' Cup and paid six figures, well into six figures. But you know, there's just not as many racing guys left, you know, in the mainstream as there used to be. A guy, Bob, Sam Spear, no relation to you or the mayor, passed away this past week.
Yeah.
He was a big Bay Meadows Golden Gate guy. Speaking of that area, he was one of the...
Getting MC Hammer into the game.
But kind of the Harvey Pack of the Bay Area. But, yeah, tough to lose two guys like that. And I want to shout out to our friend Tony Montanino, who lost his mom last night. Tony's owns horses. He's played in a lot of the tournaments. He's
good guy.
One of the best guys you're ever going to meet. I mean, truly a great guy. And you know, it's tough. It's tough getting older. You know, not just not just on yourself, because you know, Tony lost 100 pounds.
Yeah,
and he had a goal of you know, losing weight. He's too heavy, and he stuck by it, and he looks great. And feel bad for him. I don't think it was expected. I think it was kind of unexpected. So that makes it even more difficult, I think, sometimes, that, you know, you're just, everything's great, life's great, and all of a sudden, bang, life's not so great. So.
Right.
Shout out to Tony. He's a good dude. Like I said, he's spent a couple days with him at Saratoga last week, just hanging out. And like I said, one of the best guys.
Yeah, he's a really cool guy.
But, you know, life happens, unfortunately. So, Wednesday, we'll have the pre-entries will be out, and we can all obsess over that and until we have the draw.
On Monday, right?
Yeah.
A week from today? Yeah. So, is it in the morning, or is it?
I believe so, but it's West Coast.
Morning. Oh, that doesn't count.
So... I don't know. Who knows?
Sorry, everybody on the West Coast. Everything revolves around New York. It's just the way it is, unfortunately.
You know, when I was in Arizona, I liked the time change.
Didn't happen?
No. Well, it doesn't happen in Arizona, but I liked they were 2 or 3 hours ahead, because...
No, everything happens sooner. You get up.
Like,
you know, horse racing's on. Like, no. 2 o'clock.
You don't have as long of a wait, and... Right. Watch the games. The late games aren't really that late.
No, they're at 1:30.
Yeah. Yeah, no problem with the West Coast time.
Just for that, though, everything else sucks. You can't watch TV at 8 o'clock out there. It's just non-existent. You can watch, like, Jimmy Fallon and James Corden, and, you know, you have to... watch like a movie channel or something.
I can't say that I really watch those things anyway. So
that's what I mean. It's just like, why would you? I guess that's why so many weirdos out west.
That's the reason why.
Yeah, you were out there too, dog. Just saying.
3 years.
You and Bobby Newman getting weird out in Arizona.
He called me today. He wanted to go to lunch.
Yo, he's back. He's up there.
I said one slight problem.
Oh, I'm 1,000 miles away.
I think he's going out to the Breeders' Cup next week for HRN. So he'll be out.
That's cool.
We'll get him on. Give him some live reports. Mr. Bick will be heading out soon.
It's my guy.
I'm sure he's got his dining schedule all arranged.
And you know he's got it all planned out.
He's got the spots that he has to go to. He really should. I told him, you should write we should have like a coffee table book. Steve's Bick's
Racetrack. Bick Chronicles.
Steve Bick's Racetrack Restaurants.
Ooh, yeah, that's a good one.
And then you could even throw in all the places.
There you go, found. Bick Bites.
He called me. When was he? He was at the symposium in Arizona, Tucson, and I don't know that if he flew into Phoenix, because flying to Tucson is really a pain in the ass. But I think he flew into Phoenix and drove, and he found some taco place,
taqueria,
like in between Phoenix and Tucson, right out in Nowheresville. it was like a taco truck.
El Segundo.
It was like, this is the greatest tacos ever. He took pictures and everything. He's like drawn to these places. He can find them.
He's got a gift, man.
I told him about Frank's Deli in Louisville, and like he's become like a
number one fan.
I'm telling you, I think they got his picture up on the wall there. Not for a bad reason.
That's good.
Yeah. Every year during the Derby, he'll always make sure he sends me at least one picture of the pork chop sandwich.
Yeah, that or the hot brown, right?
Oh man, Frank's, believe me, Frank's was the best. Frank's Deli is great. Marty McGee knows all about it. Marty McGee turned us on to the Cottage. The Cottage is right around the corner from Churchill. And that place is really good too. I mean, it's probably not the healthiest food in the world, but
treat yourself, as they say.
It's fried, man. You're in fried territory when you're in Kentucky.
You know, I was thinking about that the other day. It's been a while since I had a chicken fried steak. And that was like one of my favorites as a kid. And I haven't had one in probably about 15 years.
Really?
Yeah. And when it's done right, it's excellent.
You know who's got a good chicken fried steak?
Who?
Keeneland's Track Kitchen.
I'm sure they do.
Yep. At least they used to. They used to, that's for sure. Yeah, we were, they had the sale last Monday at up here in Saratoga. Mostly brood mares and foals and weanlings.
Weanlings.
But the mayor was complaining because nothing's open on Mondays.
Oh, yeah. You said the restaurants are all closed and stuff.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's like Monday is like an extra, it's like another day, man. It's like another weekend day.
Yeah, but he's on a diet. He doesn't need that.
Yeah, that diet's dead.
It's dead? So it's back to the Fireball? Fireball on a Monday night?
Yeah, we had a little ceremony on Saturday night for our high school basketball coach who's getting elected to the New York State or the Upstate Basketball Hall of Fame. And it's actually long overdue. I mean, he's got a tremendous record. And sometimes politics play a part in those things. But anyways, it was great to see him and see some of the old guys. But he's telling the story about, you know, when Dave came to visit and I had 6 bottles of wine sitting out there. And
had is the key word.
Well, I was supposed to get him vodka and I forgot. I don't know, something like this. So I had 6 bottles of wine and 2 of the bottles were, or 3 of the bottles, excuse me, were Primo, like, you know, like $100 bottles of wine. And then 3 of them were, you know, just kind of
decent stuff.
Yeah. So I went to sleep and woke up, and you know which 2 bottles were empty, right?
The top shelf.
I was like, jerk, you drank like $250 worth of wine last night.
He's like, what?
He's like,
eh. It tastes like juice.
Tastes the same to me. I said, well, yeah, you drank both bottles of it. Wine's healthy for you, though. It's good for you. Supposedly.
Yeah, it says it's like good for your heart or something, which I don't understand because when I drink it and it's the good stuff, it makes my heart palpitate.
Gives me a headache.
Pretty much.
No, I'm not really a wine drinker. There was a reason those bottles were out there. They're out there because people gave them to me and I never drank.
Never cracked them open. So, but you know the mayor. We should storm the castle and go out to Santa Anita and bum rush Rodney.
Yeah, Rodney's like a weird one. He was telling me that out in California they're putting up these.
Oh yeah,
you see the pictures of those OTBs?
Yeah, the Derby Room. I think they're called Derby Room.
They look really nice.
It's a hell of an idea. I don't understand why it just doesn't catch on.
I just don't know. I mean, if they're affiliated with the track or
they have to be in some way, right?
You would think. You would think.
But if they get sports betting, it's over, dude.
I don't think they're getting it for a while.
Yeah.
The Indians control a lot out there, like they do in Florida. They got it in Florida, except the Indians control it.
Yeah, so, I keep getting things in the mail from FanDuel to sign a petition.
Yeah, because they cut out.
Right. FanDuel's like, yo, let us in.
Yeah, we want sports betting, but we don't like it the way they have it right now because we're not allowed to participate. Or if we do participate, it's got to be through our competitors.
It's always DFS, my friend.
Listen, the fantasy basketball has already tortured me for a weekend.
I know. You thought you were going to beat me, didn't you?
I'm already fretting about Jrue Holiday's ankle. And
he played, though, last night, didn't he? Or
no, he didn't play today.
I thought he was playing today.
You don't understand is why did the Sixers play Joel Embiid against the Oklahoma City Thunder when they could certainly beat them without him? And now he's questionable to play Tuesday against the Knicks. Like, wouldn't you think the Knicks game would be more important than the Oklahoma City game? And wouldn't you, you know, like,
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Like, the start of the season is weird. You know, I think they're just starting off slow. Like, nobody's in shape.
A lot of guys seem hurt already. There's a lot of guys are banged up a little bit already. Anyway, that's the only problem with fantasy basketball is like you're on a daily torture to see who's hurt, who's not hurt, who's playing, who's not playing. Barry beat me week one.
I did.
Not only did he beat me, he kind of thrashed me.
It wasn't your fault, though.
Well, I wasn't the one out there not getting the rebound.
I was going to yell at you.
Making the turnovers.
Knicks mania took us both over, so, like, I get it. And then they lose to Orlando yesterday.
I thought they fly to Orlando and they blow them out in Orlando. Then they come back to New York and they lose them. They just couldn't hit any shots. I mean,
no shot.
At some point, when you're missing wide open shots, you're just missing wide open shots.
I don't know. They need to. Tibbs needs to yell at Randall, and tell him to chill, man. That dude, he'll take any. He gets any kind of daylight. It's going up.
Yeah, he figures he signed an under market contract, so he can do whatever the hell he wants.
Just gonna fire away, huh?
Yeah, he plays hard though.
His shot selection is getting in the way.
Yeah,
and then you know. You have the symbolic starter in Kemba Walker, who plays 15 minutes, and then Derrick Rose plays the rest of the game.
Well, he's supposed to be on a minutes restriction. The other day, first game of the season, Tibbs plays him 36 minutes.
Right.
Some minute restriction.
Tibbs gets caught up in the game flow.
It's always great when there's like 14 seconds to go and they're up by 17 and the ref will do something and he'll just like lose his mind. Like they're going to hit an 18 pointer, you know? Like, just calm down, man. Guy's going to blow a gasket.
You know, it's been a nice surprise. It's Mason Plumlee for me. Guy's been balling out.
I can honestly say that I wasn't expecting Mason Plumlee to get a big shout out tonight, but hey,
have you seen his games? He's been like 12-12 every game.
Well, he's 7 foot and athletic. I mean, he should at least do something, right?
A couple blocks, a little assist. It's a 48-minute
game.
Yeah, but he doesn't play much.
You know,
I think that's the key. He doesn't get a lot of minutes. He only gets like 20 minutes.
If there's anybody that listens to us that's a billionaire that could buy a team, please
let us run
buy it and just
let us run it.
Do me one thing. Trade for Bol Bol and play him.
Oh, man.
It's time a 7-3 point guard starts. It's time for a 7-3 point guard. Bol Bol.
I think so.
Come on, Nuggets. Put him in the game.
He's got a lot of talent in front of him.
Anything to get my mind off the Dolphins.
Oh man. Well, at least they got a quarterback. They just don't have a cast around.
Yeah, you just can't convince half the people that no matter how good he plays. Oh, we got him through an interception. Yeah. But what about the 400 yards he passed for and the 4 touchdowns and everything else? So I watched Patrick Mahomes yesterday. He looked horrible.
Horrible. Horrible.
Horrible. That's what happens in the NFL. No, Tua's played fine. The defense stinks. I can't, and it's generally the same guys as last year. They're just no good. Can't stop anybody.
But they needed him back. They needed Tua back.
They do, and they just have to just stop just say we're not trading for the rape guy, and that's all there is to it. Listen, a team that's 1-6 that should be probably, you know, got lucky to win the one game.
They're 3-3. They're probably.
And listen, they were in every game except for the game against Buffalo, which was a, you know, a destruction. But
Buffalo,
they can't be trading all these assets for Deshaun Watson, because Deshaun Watson doesn't play defense, and he's not an offensive lineman, and he's not a receiver. All the areas that they've had issues with, they still have issues with. But all of a sudden, they have the highest paid cornerback duo in the league, and all of a sudden they can't guard anybody. That's not a good thing. Their linebackers are always hurt. I mean, they don't have sufficient depth. It just is like they have so many issues, but none of them are really quarterback. Quarterback is not.
No, quarterback's not the problem.
No,
definitely not the problem.
The guy came back his last two games. He's the fourth ranked quarterback in the NFL.
Nasty.
For the last 2 weeks. He's not the problem, jerks.
Yeah. Know your stats.
Know your role.
That too.
Who is that? The Rock. Know your role and shut your mouth.
If it were only that simple. If it were that simple, there would be no Twitter.
Speaking of Twitter,
Swifty.
The shockwaves of the Swift.
Hit the thing. Dust, man.
Getting
he's
banned.
On a B Spears status, permanent vacation.
You gotta find out the story behind
it. I don't even know. It was like I literally saw one of his tweets, and then the next minute, his account was
gone. And he said he had some beef all of a sudden with Horse Racing Nation. But I don't understand how you could have a beef with Horse Racing. Like, what do they do? Like, that you would have a beef with.
Right.
I mean, it's kind of a promo.
Weird. It was operation. It was, I mean, strange.
It's not like they don't exactly take stands or anything. Like,
no, it's just news.
I don't know why he was so adamantly against them. He wanted to go to war with Horse Racing Nation. The new home of Easy Ed DeRosa.
Easy Ed. Ed's getting crunk right now as we speak, posting bottles on Twitter every night until he's done at Twin Spires. And indulging in Skyline Chili, which, by the way, everybody I've talked to other than Ed DeRosa says it's complete garbage.
Skyline Chili is kind of like the chili you got when you were in grade school. Like real watery.
So real underwhelming.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never had
it. I think Ed's from like Cleveland and he lives in Kentucky. So, I mean, it's not like he's exposed to a lot of great food. Though Italian food, I mean, there's some good Italian food in Cleveland at least. I guess chili would. What would chili be considered?
I don't know.
Like what ethnic group would be associated with chili?
Mexico, right? It's like
Mexico?
Tex-Mex. Isn't it? Like, you know.
Yeah. That's a question for Bobby Flay.
When we ask him on January 29th, 2022.
You know, I make really good chili.
My wife made chili this weekend.
I tell you what, I guarantee it, it's better than Skyline.
Yeah, my wife does her own tomato sauce.
I have a secret. I have a secret ingredient.
Oh, boy. I don't want to know what it is. Could be anything.
Actually, it's two secret ingredients.
It's like THC oil?
No.
That'd make anything
good. Nah, these aren't weed brownies, man. Hey, it ain't that good. But no, I got the secret.
THC infused chili.
You gotta put a little bit of the greatest food groups of all time.
Milk?
Bacon.
Oh yeah, my wife does the bacon thing.
But there's another one though.
Oh.
You got to grind up some veal.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, okay.
The veal.
Run that by...
Yeah. You got to grind it up, though.
Run that by Amber and see what she feels about that. Because she made some this weekend, and it was very good.
Yeah. Tell her she can move to a different level with the veal. I feel like Steve Bick. I'm giving out cooking tips.
Right? There you go. Speaking of Amber, she wanted to go to the pump. So we're going to find a day. We were going to go. Actually, I booked a trip to go. Well, we're going to take some time to go down to Miami for a few days. And we're going to end up at the track on that Saturday, which is Clamming Crown Day, which I like. I love that day. A lot of chaos.
Well, you got big fields, that's for sure.
Yeah, everybody's coming in, taking a shot, big money, horses that usually don't get the spotlight. I enjoy it. Although one year I got beat by a horse that I don't think ever won again. From the 14 hole on the turf, mind you. Don't know how that happened, still to this day. Bounced me out of a pick four, pick five stacks. That horse was huge price too. It was at least 20-1. It's a Ramsey horse, I believe, with Ramon Hernandez when he was riding down here. Yeah, that stuff I'll remember every time. But yeah, it should be fun. We got to find some weekdays. We're going to take a couple days to the pump, see what's going on.
Yeah, the pump opened last night. Wally won 10. Just another day.
At the pump. Usual.
The four of them were non-betters, sire stake races. But, got a 10-bagger. Not a bad evening.
Not many can say that. But, I mean...
There are not many people out there that have won 10 races in a day, no.
If we get our license, I think I could do that.
Maybe we should duel, have a match race against them.
I'm down with that. I'm going to the lead, bro. You could best believe that. We're going to the front.
Well, I'll be over there.
And we're going fast.
I'll be over there next Sunday for sure.
Tell Gabe, what's up?
Be at the pump. We'll talk to Gabe. We'll have some negotiations about our race.
Just get Dylan to come out.
If we're going to have a race, he'll be there. Listen, if we get some of these clowns to in a race, this should be like one of the highlights.
And you get like bar shoes.
You know what I was thinking we should do? And this is just not us, just, you know, but I think we should call for a moratorium on wagering structure and tickets until after the Breeders' Cup.
Or during.
I'm just sick of it. People want to bet like idiots. Just let them bet like idiots. We can take this up.
I'm kind of torn on that.
The Breeders' Cup.
You know, I get it, you know, because it's like, especially when it's somebody you know and you're like, you're cool with them and like, yo, you really bet like that? And then the other half of me is like, well, we want that kind of money in the pool.
Well, I'm not saying on a permanent basis. I'm just saying until the Breeders' Cup's over because there's too much to talk about.
Yeah, but after the Breeders' Cup's over, I mean, Breeders' Cup's the pinnacle.
There's going to be some, it's the pinnacle of egregious tickets, probably.
Yeah. That's why I want to see them. I love when people put crazy ass tickets on Twitter. It's almost as hilarious as anytime Joy Taylor puts up a picture. Yeah. Those are the two things that I love about Twitter.
There's one thing consistent about Joy Taylor's pictures.
Is the comments are absolutely outstanding. Yeah. Every time.
The fact that she always gets an angle to best make her boob show.
Well, obviously she understands what she's doing. But I think she thinks those comments are funny also.
But she's a racing person, supposedly.
Well, she went to Santa Anita once.
Listen, we can't talk too bad about her. Jason Taylor's sister, and Jason Taylor is...
Is the man. Dolphins.
He is
for life.
He is a.
No matter he donned that stupid Jets uniform, didn't he?
Yeah, that one year he just lost his mind. Everybody makes a mistake.
Everybody does things, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I see. I see the Jets traded for Joe Flacco today because your quarterback got hurt. I guess Richard Todd wasn't available. Well, I guess we'll have a lot more to say about the Breeders' Cup next week.
Yeah, it's going to be a good show. I mean, it's are we trying to get JB on the line?
Well, we'll probably do something, yeah, for next week.
I'm down. That's what next I'm talking week. About.
It's not going to be a 17.
Making the rounds, though.
It's not going to be a 17. I know you go on with too many stupid people. Damn, I didn't mean that. Take that back.
Damn Lakers fans.
You're giving out too much. No, not him. He's just the Lakers fan. He can't help himself. Lakers fans are the only people in the world when you say, you know what, their team actually is going to be fine. Don't worry. Everything's going to be okay. So you're actually like saying good things about them. They take offense. If you say bad things about them, they take offense. Yeah. All I know is if it ever came down to Knicks fans versus Laker fans, we would kick their ass.
Clearly, if you saw any of the videos online
after the lunacy that follows games, if they were ever outrageous. In the championship, I don't know if it's
going to happen. Oh, my God.
Because they ain't exactly real close. But the complete, like,
meltdown / joy, just all the emotions all at once, it would be phenomenal. And just the off season would be fantastic because it would be the best thing in the world, to be honest with you. Even if they made a deep playoff run, I think they would get that kind of hype.
The greatest thing about that video of the Knicks fan that beat the Celtics was when the guy started going off about Tom Brady. I've been in New York. I grew up in New York. I've been in New York my whole life. F you, Tom Brady.
I wasn't even there.
he plays in Tampa. Oh, man. It's that way, though. It really is. It really is. Oh, man. Well, like I said, next week we'll have a regular Big Monday show, then we'll do something for the Breeders' Cup. We'll get Jason. We'll kidnap Jason. Bring him on. Jason's got really good opinions. Jason's really, really sharp. And he watches the races like a hawk. And, he's a purveyor of the no chalk zone.
The one thing I do appreciate about how he talks about and watches and his analysis is it's a lot of feel. It's not statistics. And, you know, there's something to be said about people that pick horses that way. There's some people just strictly numbers. Everything's about the numbers. And there's something to be said for somebody with a good feel for the game like he has. It's real interesting to hear him talk about why he doesn't like horses.
And that's his edge. And that's the edge that, right. I mean, numbers are numbers are numbers. Unless you're doing your own numbers and have some sort of way of analyzing it that no one else sees. Or you could do like Craig and, you know, actually get the correct times.
I told you I did that one.
That's his edge. I mean, that's his edge is being able to decipher what he saw. Taking into consideration, believe me, he looks at the numbers. He knows. He's not, you know, he's not an idiot. He's not just throwing darts. He's a sharp guy. And believe me, Jason's made lots of big scores over the years. Yeah. I've known him to find horses and you know, he's like the ITP kind of way of he likes a horse, he will fire on it. and he's not going to hedge and save and, you know, use the 2-5 shot because he's a 2-5 shot. If he has an opinion, he will back it. And that's, well, you got to have a lot of respect for that. And he's got a good opinion, which helps. If you have a bad opinion and you back it, well,
yeah, well, yeah.
You're just going to be throwing money away. But no, but it's hard to get him. Come on. You know, I might try to get on talking about complete lunatics is Doug Salvador.
Oh, Dougie Sal.
Prescott's over, so.
I think I can, nothing to do.
Yeah, I have to trick him, but you can probably get him on. You got it. You got to kind of trick him because if he ever like goes off the deep end, he's going to become like the Unabomber number two.
He's like
he'll be out in the West Pennsylvania mountains or something.
The temperament of a gecko is a good way to put it.
He's all over, but he is sharp too. He's
very sharp. Yeah.
So we'll try to get him. Maybe we'll try to get him too. That would be interesting.
Oh yeah, the Breeders' Cup Roundtable with JB and Dougie Sal.
Free.
Yeah.
We don't charge. Yeah. Maybe the Wednesday before, because we should have the PPs in the post positions, right?
Yeah. They'll probably come out that same day, no?
Yeah, I mean,
we'll be out Monday or
once Tuesday. The pre-entries come out, I mean, they know who's all is going to be in the race. It's just a matter of putting in post position order. Yeah, see about doing that.
We don't need post positions. Who needs that?
We need post positions.
No, we don't.
Some of them races, it's going to matter a lot.
Yeah, the turf races. Namely, all of them.
So Order of Australia's gone. He's retired.
Well, yeah, he's supposed to.
He's done.
Good. No, not good, but you know what I mean. Still jaded because of last year.
No, good. It's good. He can kiss my ass.
See, I would feel better about it if he like ripped off like 10 straight wins.
Yeah. Like I said, it would have been no great feat of handicapping. It was just boxing the Europeans. I just forgot there was another one in there.
I forgot
on the other page.
Too. I that's how I missed them. I did the same thing you did.
What? There's another horse? Shit. Maybe watch them then, take in the bridge.
They should do a 30 for 30 on that horse after the Breeders' Cup. What happened to everybody? The jockey is like in jail.
Yeah, it's true.
Just
so PR.
A rough go of it. Everybody, that whole equation.
I'd like to see a 30 for 30 on racing.
There was one good one that was on. They usually show it on Christmas on TVG with the horse that won the sprint in Dubai. It's a pretty good documentary. I forget.
But... Oh, right. Carl's horse.
Yes.
Yeah.
King something.
You know, what's funny is there's a million stories like that in horse racing over the years.
Yeah.
And
a lot of them, most of them.
Yeah, you just don't. You just don't hear about that many of them.
Maybe that's what we should do. We should do a documentary.
A documentary on what?
I don't know. We can find something. We could be filmmakers. Maybe we'll go to Ken and what's that one in Aspen or Colorado? The one.
Yeah, they used to go to an entourage.
Yeah, that one.
I can't think of it.
Oh, man. Now I'm getting old. I can't remember anything. Holy shit, this is going to rack my brain.
You're going to remember it like 2 o'clock in the morning.
You're right. And I would text you and be like, what the hell is this guy doing?
People don't even want to go to the movies anymore. Telluride.
No, not that one.
Breckenridge.
Sundance.
Sundance.
Independent films. That's why. Sundance. I knew they had a channel.
You know, there's a Festivus Film Festival.
Ooh. For the rest of us?
Festivus for the rest of us.
By the way, that's what my wife got her father for Christmas last year, was a Festivus pole.
Really?
Yes. It's pretty snazzy. It was funny.
We should start a Deadpool.
What?
Can you draw your own name?
What? Did you see the first movie? First Deadpool movie? I watch movies like crazy. Like, that's an old habit for me, being on the road all the time. I used to watch movie after movie after movie. There's not many that get by me.
Today there was something on the internet saying that for the first time ever, or I don't know, first time ever, but they took a poll and people would rather watch new movies at home than go to the theater.
Of course they do.
Like, theaters are like another, they'll be out of business then too. That'll be the next thing that'll go.
Yeah, Netflix is killing them. Just like they killed Blockbuster.
Do you imagine we used to go to Blockbuster?
Blockbuster. Then Redbox got clobbered by Netflix.
Go to Blockbuster and give the guy behind the counter $10 to make sure he held like whatever movie.
Rent video games. He used to rent video games. That was my thing. Not the movie.
Yeah, I rented a video game one time and
never returned it.
No, I was in Florida and I rented a video game, and then we went to we used to have like full scale Madden tournaments.
Oh man,
Jay, Robbie Medina, me, bunch of us. We used to play like every once in a while. The game would end in like actual fists being thrown, but
yeah, definitely.
We play from
all. It's not a real.
There was a golf. There was a miniature golf course right north of Hollywood, right off the right off 95, and we used to go over there and play miniature golf for money. And I think Jay Bitus got us barred for life for throwing his club. Yeah. We got booted.
Oh man! Get him off. Gotta ask him about that.
Yeah. Now it's a mall. So.
Boo.
We can go there again because it's a mall. But yeah, we got booted from that, from the miniature golf course.
Takes effort.
Hey, listen, man. We're playing for money. We didn't make very much money back then.
That's cutthroat.
Well, the best one was when I dropped him and the mayor off at Hollywood Dog Track one afternoon doing a date. There was a day card. This is before cell phones and shit, right? So I dropped him off over there and I went home. And I said, you know,
call me later.
Call from the payphone. They had a payphone there. And
I said, payphone.
And I'll come pick you up, you know. Or I'll go, you know, I got to go back and feed the horses. I'll just drive by and look for you if I hadn't heard from you. So
2 a.m.
So I drive over there and the dogs are over. Right? So there's about 12 cars out in front. You know, Hollywood Dog Track is a huge parking
lot. Huge parking lot, yeah.
So I just assumed they weren't there. So I drove home. So I get home, it's 5:30, 6:30, 7 o'clock. Here they come. Right, I dropped them off at noon. The dog track, the matinee got over at like 4. So it's like, where the hell have you guys been, man? Because I'm sitting there, you know, waiting to go eat dinner. And like we were doing good. So what do you mean you were doing good at what?
Were.
We were betting simulcast. So you were betting simulcast dogs?
Yeah.
Yeah. Jay, what was the name of that place? Centennial. The dogs wear parkas. I was like, what? He goes, yeah, the dogs got jackets. You know, it's Denver and it's like, you know, it was like January, you know? So I was like, yeah, the dogs wear parkas. I said, you guys are betting simulcast dogs? Like, what is wrong with you? Spears told me about a system. He boxed 1357 every race.
Yeah, that's my daughter's birthday.
1357?
I used to do that with Highline. Go in and buy it for the whole all the card and then come back later and run tickets to the machine to see if I won.
But you know what the crazy thing was back then, like there was gambling all the time. Like dog tracks.
No
like,
shortage. I mean
the
Highline.
I was every
right night in that area too.
Matinees, dog tracks were running all the time. Gulfstream used to run 6 days a week.
And probably see the same 20 people at each spot.
Gulfstream, all used to good crowds at Gulfstream. The back back behind the paddock was beautiful. People used to sit out there in the sun. It was the old Gulfstream track was really nice.
I liked it.
It was really nice.
I was kind of disappointed when they knocked it down.
Yeah, it's. Anyways, we've rambled on long enough. So we do appreciate anyone that's gotten this far.
Right, and you stuck with us. You're soldiers.
You are.
Let soldiers. Us know. We'll give you a huge shout out.
If we ever get around to making t-shirts and shit, we'll send you one.
Oh, we're working on that. I'm working on that.
Believe me, these are going to be the best t-shirts you ever saw.
Oh, yeah.
We've been working on it for about a year. We don't have a budget, though, because, you know, like, we don't have any money. We don't get paid to do this. Like Tone Loke said.
I get paid to do the wild thing.
I love that anything I quote, you can always know exactly what I'm talking about. But going in circles podcast at Gmail. Give us a shout if you want to converse, have any questions, want us to talk about anything. And
anything. Literally anything.
Literally anything. But yeah, we'll have two shows next week, but we will.
It's gonna be a doozy.
It's gonna be. All right. Well, like I said, thank you for listening, and Barry, again, as always.
Thank you. Thank you.
Keep it up, man. Keep it.
CZ Rocket, baby. That's all you need to know. And I'm out.
If he wins, I'll wear a CZ Rocket t-shirt.
Okay, you heard it here first. We got it on wax. It's recorded.
All right.